Key verse is John chapter 8 and verse 31, and that's where we'll start tonight. John chapter 8 and verse 31. You can turn there while they're handing out the outline for our study tonight. John chapter 8 and verse 31, and the Bible says this, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him." Now the best thing you can do when you're reading your Bible is pay attention to what it says. All right? Jesus said to the Jews which believed on Him. So He's talking to believing Jews. He says to them, "If ye continue in My Word, then are ye My disciples indeed." All right? He's speaking to people that have already believed. They're not unbelievers. They don't need to be saved. So He's speaking to saved people, and He said, "If you continue in My Word, then are you My disciples indeed." So it is very clear that not all believers are disciples. All right, He's speaking to believers. But He's saying you're only a disciple if you continue in My Word. We ought to all have the desire to be disciples of Christ. We should not be content to just say, I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I'm not going to hell. I'm glad my sins are forgiven. But that's all I want from God. We ought to desire to be His disciple. You know, folks, in the world we live in are disciples of all kinds of people. There's disciples of MTV. I mean, they live by that. There's disciples of sports. There's disciples of Hollywood actors. We ought to desire to be disciples of Christ. If we've been washed in His blood, redeemed, saved, adopted into His family, it would only be natural for us to have a desire to be a disciple. Well, how can we do that? Jesus said, continue in His Word. So tonight we're going to look at one of the first steps, one of the first things that's necessary for us to be a disciple of Christ. And I've entitled this, I was going to put it Bible reading, but I realized that this lesson is more than just Bible reading, it's Bible saturation. Bible saturation. You know what you and I need to do in the world we live in right now? We need it more than, can I say, any time in history has ever needed it. We need to be saturated with the Word of God. We live in a wicked, vile, corrupt, filthy, godless world. And we're surrounded by it every day. If you have a television, you're surrounded by godlessness. You're saying, "Preacher, are you telling us we shouldn't have a television?" No, but I'm just telling you, you need to be aware. It's coming at you. If you get the newspaper, you're going to be exposed to godlessness. You say, "You're saying we shouldn't get the newspaper?" No, I'm not saying that, but I'm saying be aware. You know what the newspaper, and this is not a slam on the Daily Jeff, it's every, you know what they want to do? If there's some atrocious, especially sexual crime committed, it will be the headline of the front page. You say, "Well, that's because it sells." Yes, that's because it sells, but it also pollutes. And the minute you get that newspaper and you see that headline, that's what it's there for. You know, it used to be you had to go into the convenience store and see the pornography in there but now you can go anywhere. And you can see it jumping out at you at headlines any place you go, places that don't have Hustler or Playboy or all that. They've still got the headlines, they've got the articles. We live in a fallen, corrupt, sinful world. And nobody should be able to sanely argue that point. We're surrounded by it. So being so saturated by ungodliness and worldliness, if we're going to be disciples of Christ, doesn't it behoove us? Doesn't it challenge us? Doesn't that motivate us? All right, we need to find some way to get clean. We need to find some way in this environment, in this world, to fellowship with God. Look, if you would, just over a few pages here in John. Look at Acts and then Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. You can jot this verse down. It's not in our notes here, but it's one I want us to consider. Romans chapter... It's not 8. What is it? 12. Romans chapter 12. Excuse me. I wrote it down right and I said it wrong. Romans chapter 12. With that thought in mind, that we live in a fallen world that's saturating us with its music, with its movies, with everything. It's just geared to corrupt. Geared to affect the way we think. Romans chapter 12 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. I beseech you therefore, who? Brethren. I beseech you therefore, brethren, he's talking to saved people, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. All right? That's what we should do. Verse 2 is how we're supposed to do it. And I appreciate about that, I appreciate that about the Bible. It doesn't just tell you what you should do, it tells you how you should do it. It said we should present our bodies a living sacrifice to God. How? Verse number 2, by not being conformed to this world, but being transformed by the renewing of our mind. The renewing of our mind. You know what that means? That when you're saved, you need to get some things out and some things in. To renew your mind, you need to get some dirt out and some clean stuff in. And I don't know about you, I've been saved 39, going on 40 years, and every day I have to do the same thing. Get some dirt out and get some clean stuff in. How are we going to do that? Well, if we had church every single day, 365 days out of the year, then we could do it in church every day. But we don't have church every day. I like folks that say, you know, well, back in the New Testament, they didn't go Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. No, you're right, they didn't. They went Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night. The Laodicean Christian, the Christian in our age, wants to say, oh, in the Bible, they didn't go Sunday morning three times a week. No, they didn't. They went seven. But we don't want to be, they say that like, oh, we want to be like the Bible, but they don't want to be like the Bible. They just want an excuse not to have to go every time. But we don't do that. We don't go. So how are we going to renew our mind if we're left on our own to do it? Can I challenge you tonight that the answer to that is Bible saturation? You cannot get too much Bible. It's impossible to get too much Bible. And the way we begin, we've got three things on our outline tonight. There's Bible reading, there's Bible study, and there's Bible memorization. And folks, we as if we're disciples of Christ and desire to be, we ought to be active in all three of those things. Not that we're spending 8 hours concentrated on it, but there's a time or a part of our day what we're doing that. Are you saved? Do you know Christ as your Savior? Well, wouldn't it be natural then to want to read His Word? I'm amazed at the number of Christians, and of course with Facebook, you know, it's just what a reality check that is. You get people on Facebook that they post things about being a Christian, and then they make statements on that are just so completely contrary to the Bible. You're thinking, don't they ever read their Bible? And the answer is no, they don't. We need to get into the Bible. So let's look at this. Let's look at this tonight. This fact of Bible saturation. If we want to be disciples of Christ, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. D.L. Moody, the great evangelist, said this, and it's on our outline, this book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. And that's an infamous quote. It's been repeated by many people down through the years, but as far as I can tell, he was the one that first said that. This book, the Bible, will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. We need to be in the Bible every day. Let's look at Bible reading. First of all, it is commanded. Bible reading is commanded. We'll not turn to all the verses that we've got listed here. I typed them out so that you could have them on the outline. But Paul told young Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13, he said, until I come, give attendance to reading. Give attendance to reading. I like to read. Not everybody likes to read. Okay, got that. But there's some reading that everybody has to do. We need to read the Bible. We need to read the Bible every day. The kids sing it down. I imagine the kids' song is, neglect your Bible, forget to pray. Neglect your Bible and you shrink, shrink, shrink. Read your Bible, pray every day, and you grow, grow, grow. And that's not just a kid's song, that's a truth and a reality. We can't grow closer to God if we don't read our Bible. So Paul told Timothy, as he left him there at Ephesus to be the pastor of the next church, he told him, he said, you need to give attendance to reading. You and I, folks, should give attendance to reading. What does that mean? Plan it out. It shouldn't just be haphazard. It shouldn't be, well, if I get time. It shouldn't be just, well, maybe it'll happen today. If we don't read our Bible, we can't be disciples of Christ if we're not reading our Bible on a daily basis. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2 says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word. It is only natural for a baby to get hungry. And it's only natural for a baby to desire milk. It's only natural for a child of God to want to read the Bible. If we don't have that desire, we need to look in and see, make sure things are okay. I remember when I first got saved, and I've probably told you this before, I got saved by it when I was in the Marines, and the fellow I worked for was in my office, and then another guy was a helicopter pilot, a captain, and the two of them basically discipled me as a young Christian. And I got saved on Sunday, and I don't remember what day of the week, but I think it was Wednesday night, one of them gave me my first Bible. I'd never owned a Bible in my life, and they gave me a Bible on Wednesday night, and I said, oh, this is great, now I got my own Bible. And they said, all right, now you've got it, let's do something. Tomorrow at lunchtime, Thursday at lunchtime, we'll meet and we'll go. And from that point in my Christian life, I was taught to read my Bible every day. And I think I've told you before, I started in the Gospel of John, read from John to Acts to Romans, and 18 years old, but never read a word in the Bible before. It was all new to me. It was exciting. It was fun. It was like, wow, I didn't know all this stuff. And I was just flying through there, reading and reading and reading, and get through. You say, what do? You read to the book of Revelation, then go to Genesis and read up. Brother Gipp was just here. He was very clear on how reading Bible, stuff like that. But we need to read the Bible. That's how we're going to grow and develop as a Christian. There's a lot of junk out there. Turn on gospel television. Turn on the radio. There's a lot of junk out there. And folks, very little of it is worth listening to. Now, I'm not going to start naming names and telling you which ones are good and which ones are bad. There's some of them that were good when they started and they went bad. But there's just a lot of stuff out there. You need to be in your Bible every day to protect yourself against being led astray from false doctrine and from error. And the only way to do it is read the Bible. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk. Desire it. It's commanded to desire it. We're supposed to read our Bible every day. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. God did not invest His time in inspiring 1,500 pages, approximately. God did not waste it. He did not spend His time with 40 different authors over 1,500 years of time on different continents and different times, different kingdoms, different places. God put all that together and then put it all into the covers of one book. God did an amazing thing by putting all that into one book. He didn't do it so it would hold death notices and wedding announcements and childbirth things, you know. That's not what the Bible's for that first page at the beginning to record your genealogy. God put all that together because He wants us to read it. That's how He communicates to us. We speak to Him through prayer. He speaks to us through His Word. If we're going to be disciples, we've got to be reading the Word of God. It's commanded. It's commanded. But the thing I'd like to emphasize is tonight is that we should not want to read our Bible because He commands us to. We should want to read it because we want to. We should desire it. Notice, it's commanded, number one, for devotion. Look at Psalm chapter 1. We've got part of the verse written there, but I want you to see the context of it. Look at Psalm chapter 1. We should be reading our Bible every day devotionally. Now you say, what does that mean? It means you just sit down and you read it. You're not trying to break it down. You're not trying to comprehend it, so to speak. You're reading it. You see folks all the time on airplanes, in doctor's offices, they got novels that are that thick. And they're reading them. And they just sit there and their eyes are not fixed on every word and they're trying to digest every word. They're reading it casually. Now in Bible reading we call that devotionally. Not trying to extract every ounce of gold from it, but just simply reading it to get the information, to get the overall picture. That's what our Bible reading is. Sometimes I'm reading. This morning I caught myself. I'm reading, my mind's wandering. Especially because I'm in Chronicles. It's easy to have your mind wander when you're in Chronicles. And I'm reading down through there about David, about this and that, and I already read all that in Kings already, and it's again in Christ. So you're reading that, and your mind starts to wander, and you think, boy, I'm in verse 36, and I don't even know what I read from verse 1 to 35. You say, what do? You start in verse 37. You just keep reading. You're reading devotionally. You're not reading to extract all the gold. We'll talk about that later. You're reading devotionally. Now try to keep your mind focused on it, but understand, we're just reading to read, to get the stories. You know, when I first read it through, all the stories were new. I never knew about Noah and the ark. I mean, I'd heard things, but I didn't know about Noah and the ark. I didn't know about Joseph and his coat of many colors. I didn't know about Moses and the plagues and all that kind of stuff. And so the first time through, it's all kind of wow. Now the 40th time, the 50th time through, some of that kind of, you know, but you just keep going and keep going because there's little nuggets in there you come across and think, wow, there's something in 1 Chronicles of all places. I found a verse in 1 Chronicles this morning. It caught my attention. I wrote it down. I didn't stop then. I wrote it down. When I was all done, I went back and I looked at it and researched and did some things I wanted to do with it. But read devotionally. Notice Psalm chapter 1. Verse 1 says, blessed is the man, and we know verse 1, blessed is the man that walketh not, standeth not, sitteth not. But verse 2, but, the blessed man, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. His delight is in the law of the Lord. I don't know when you read your Bible, where you read their Bible. I've got a set place at a set time. And when I sit down, I look forward to it. I enjoy that. I look forward to sitting down with my Bible in my lap. And it's for me, it's in the morning. I've gotten up. I've exercised. I go out on the back porch. Sonia fixes me my little glass of hot water with lemon in it. And I sit on the back porch with my Bible in my lap. I've got my routine all down. I got a certain pillow that I set in my lap. I put my Bible right here. I got the stuff right here. I enjoy the next 30 minutes just sitting there, enjoying the Word of God. That's what our delight ought to be. We all ought to have that special time, that special place where we just... Now you say, well, my schedule's busy. Man, tell me about it. I remember the days working at Famous Supply and getting three kids up before God blessed me with Sonia in my life. Getting my three older kids or four older kids up in the morning, getting them dressed, getting them off to school, making sure they got there on time. Then me rushing off to work. I know that mornings back then were not the time for me to read. You know what I did? Lunchtime. I worked right here in Byesville, and I'd bring my lunch with me, and I'd pack up and go to the city park and sit in my car for my lunch break and sit there and do my... There's a time you can make time for it. If it's your delight, you will find time to do it. We find time to do things we delight in doing. It's just that simple. And the Bible says our delight should be in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth He meditate day and night. You know, the Bible will make a difference in the rest of your day when you read it. It will make a difference the rest of your day when you do it. It will comfort you. It will soothe you. It will encourage you. It will challenge you. It will do those things if we read it. That's why it's best to read it in the morning if you can, to start your day out that way. But again, if your schedule is just that hectic, you can't just find a time. But it's for devotion, that our delight might be in the law of the Lord. Joshua chapter 1:8, you don't have to turn to that one. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, then shalt thou have good success. I guarantee you, everybody here, nobody here would say, I don't want to be prosperous. Nobody here would say, I don't want to have good success. We all want to. You know where the Bible says you get that? By getting into His Word. By reading the Bible. It will make a change in our life. And it will help us to combat the mentality of the world that's out there. You know what? Here's the thing, folks. And I say this, the average Christian, when I say the average Christian, you know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the fellow that goes to church on Sunday morning and that's the end of his Christianity for the week. He doesn't do wrong. He doesn't do bad. He doesn't necessarily do that. But that's just, you know, just kind of conforming to the Christian realm. And the problem is that now, when things are presented by the world, somebody says something, somebody with an education says something, they suck it in because you don't know any better. That's why we need to read that Bible every day, because it protects us against those things that we fall for. We're gullible. We're gullible. We fall. You don't believe that? Look at how many people out there believe in evolution. They're gullible. How many believe that homosexuality is okay? Christian people. You know why? And that's where I go back. They haven't read this book. Because there's no Christian person that can say, that's okay, that's read this book, because that's not what the Bible says about it. And yet that's the big push and that's the big movement. Oh, it's acceptable, it's okay, it's all right. Don't judge, don't put titles on people, don't label people. You're not reading your Bible. And so we need to read it, because if we meditate there and there, we're going to be prosperous, we're going to have good success. It gives us devotion. Number two, we ought to read it every day. It's commanded to read it for direction. For direction. Psalm 119, verse 9 on our page. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. The first Bible I got was a small brown leather Bible. I wish I had it. I wish I still had it. I know where it is. Because a few years ago, Don Masters, a fellow that I worked with that worked in my office, John Young got me into church and led me to the Lord. And then after John was gone and I was in the office, Don Masters came in a couple years later. He was from Newark, Ohio. And Don came in and I got him, after witnessing and taught him, got him to come to church. He got saved. He had a lot of questions. Why this and why that? I remember the questions he had. He got saved and I gave him, by that time I had another Bible, and I gave him that Bible. And we met him, Sonia got to meet him a few years ago. He lived in Newark, he's now down in Florida, but we got reconnected after many years. And he invited us over to dinner one time. Our girls were playing a basketball game over against the Christian school in Granville. And he invited us over, and he said, look, and he showed me on his nightstand, right there was that brown Bible. And I opened up and looked, you know what it said? Steve Leafley, June 1975, Psalm 119, verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to that. That was the first verse I ever wrote down in my Bible. Because I knew the importance of getting that Bible in, to get it in, to clean out some of the things of the life I used to have. I'm not going to go into it, but there were some sins that before I got saved, I couldn't get any victory over. It was in my DNA, let's put it that way. There were things I couldn't get rid of, but when I got saved, it got out. Why? Because the Word took its place. It came in and did that, all right? Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? What did D.L. Moody say? This book will keep you from sin. Or sin will keep you from this book. If we will devote ourselves and dedicate ourselves to having a time every day in the Word of God, it'll make us a disciple of Christ. Psalm 119, verse 105, you know the verse, thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. The Word of God will give us direction. Now, it's not that God, you know, you say, okay, should I move to such and such a place or not? And you're looking for a verse in the Bible that gives you the answer. But it's God's Word that gives you peace when you make the right decision. But that peace comes from reading the Bible. A lot of Christian people make a decision that blows up on them later. You know why? They weren't reading their Bible. They weren't saturating themselves with it. And again, it wasn't that there was a specific verse. You know, the old Moravians crossing the Atlantic back in the 1500s, 1600s used to have the practice of just opening the Bible each day and pointing to a verse, and that was their verse for the day, and then they tried to, kind of like a horoscope, I guess, they tried to live it according to that verse. Well, that's not what the Bible's for. It's not haphazard like that. But as we saturate ourselves and get it in, we begin to learn principles for Christian living. You don't have to buy somebody's CD set to learn that. You get it by reading the Bible yourself. So the Bible says, thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. We should read the Bible because it's commanded. When we read the Bible, we should be consistent. And again, that's why I said daily Bible reading. Doing it every day. You say, what if I miss a day? Get back to it the next day. Say, should I double up? If you can, if you got time, do it. I've done that before. Sometimes you just can't do it. Just go back and read the next day. But it needs to be consistent. It says in Job chapter 23 and verse 12, Job said, I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Somebody comes up and says, well, Pastor, there's no time in my day. I don't have any time to read. All right, do this. Skip a meal. Don't eat. Take that time and read your Bible instead. Oh, I can't do that. No, we make time for what we deem important. We make time for what we think we need to do. And the Bible is what we need to do. The Bible is what we need to get into. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. 7 days without reading the Bible will make 1 week. Not W-E-E-K. W-E-A-K. It'll make us weak. Our Christian life will suffer if we're not in the Bible every day. So we need to have Bible reading. Number two, we need to have Bible study. And here again, if you go on the internet and Google this, Bible study, you know what you'll bring up? If you go up Google Bible reading and Google Bible study, it'll bring up the same websites. Because they don't differentiate between the two. But there is a difference between Bible reading and Bible study. We should read our Bible every day. Now, how much you read, Brother Gipp told you. All right, he said 10 pages. If you can do that, that's fine. When I first started reading my Bible through, it was 3 chapters every day and 5 on Sunday. And that gets you through the Bible in a year. Folks, it will be embarrassing. Can you hear me? It will be embarrassing to get to heaven. It'll be embarrassing to get to heaven and stand in front of the Lord Jesus Christ and say, I've never read my Bible through. I can't overemphasize that. It will be embarrassing to get into heaven, saved by the grace of God, and stand before Jesus Christ and have the Lord examine our life, which He's going to do, and have us give an account for the things we've done in the flesh. And then when He says, how'd you like the book of Haggai? Who? You know, that minor prophet in the Old, you know, the guy right there by Obadiah. Oba who? Do you understand? It will be embarrassing to stand before God claiming Him as our Savior and saying, I didn't read His Word. And then He'll show us all the things we found time for. All the things we did have time to do. But not His Word. Again, I'm not saying this to as an anvil or a hammer to say, you got to do it. We ought to do it. We ought to want to do it. We need to do it. It's vital that we do it. And then there's Bible study. Not the same as reading. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. It's on the outline. But I recommend if you haven't looked at it, look at that verse and underline it. Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman. Work. See, Bible reading devotional is not work. That's enjoyable. We're just reading it because we like it. We love the Word of God in our heart and in our life. But then we're to a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Can I give you a heads up? Don't tell me what John Hagee taught on. Don't tell me what Creflo Dollar's preaching about. Because I guarantee when you tell me that, you know what you're telling me? You're not studying your Bible for yourself. Because if you listen to those guys for 2 programs, you're going to realize I'm being led astray. The blood moons that Hagee's making a big deal about, what he's teaching is not scriptural. It's not biblical. It's helping him sell books. It's helping him make money. People are interested in prophecy, but it's not Bible. And those fellows you're going to get there, it's not going to give you. You need to study your Bible for yourself. Get down and read it and look at it. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Again, when we get before God and say, well, I bought into this. I bought into this Armstrongism. I bought into this theology or this thing. The Lord's going to say, why? I gave you a book. I explained it to you. So again, when you're reading your Bible and something comes up, make a little note on the next side and go back and study it for yourself. There's nothing wrong with that. You're not prohibited. We're not Catholics. All right, the Catholic Church is, you're not allowed to read the Bible for yourself. Only the priest can properly understand it and digest it and give it to you. Here, everybody should be reading it. Everybody should be studying. And so we need to do that. Acts chapter 17, verse 11. They search the Scriptures daily, whether those things are so. All right, that's the Bereans. They were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Why? Because they searched the Scriptures daily. When somebody comes up and says, hey, I heard that the Bible says this or that. Say, really? Go look it up. Go try to find it. Years ago, we had some clown going through here on a bicycle. Long white garments, sandals, big long beard, and he said he was an apostle. And this is when our church was very, very young. We were in the foundation of our church. I think we were still out at Shenandoah Inn. And one of our men, who was a very young Christian at the time, called me. And he said, "Hey, you've got to come and meet this guy." And I said, "Who is it?" He said, "He says he's an apostle." Well, right then, warning signs go off. But he didn't know. He was young in the Lord. He didn't know that the guy couldn't possibly be an apostle unless he's 2,000 years old. He had to have seen Jesus Christ himself. But this guy went through on his bike, you know, and he's got his New Testament in his back pocket, and he's quoting Bible verses and all that. So I go out there just to see what's going on, get out there, and we're talking to this guy. And this guy starts saying, "Well, you know, the Bible says," and he quoted something, and I thought, this didn't sound right. Something sounded a little odd, a little off right there. And I said, wait, what did you say?" He said, "Well, the Bible said," and he quoted, and I said, "Where is that in the Bible?" And he said, "Well, that's Matthew," and he gave a reference. And I thought, no, wait a minute. I said, "You got your Bible with you?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Show me that verse in Matthew, that verse you just quoted." "Oh, well, no, I guess I don't have my Bible with me." It was in his back pocket. You know what he's doing? He was just going off the cuff. And there's a lot of fellas like that out there. There's a lot of guys who are just, "Well, the Bible, you know, I've read the Book of Mormon," and the Book of Mormon, if you didn't know better, a lot of those verses, you would think they're Bible verses. It sounds a lot like the Bible. But somebody that read the Bible enough to know what it sounded like wrote their own book and has deceived multitudes of people with it. We need to be able to study. They search the Scriptures daily, whether those things would be so. Don't ever take, I've told you this from this pulpit, don't ever take anything I say because I said it. You check it out in that book. And if what I say doesn't match that Bible, you take the Bible every time. So they did that. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 5 and 6. "A wise man will hear and will increase learning. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings." You see, you realize that Solomon is telling his son about how to understand properly. You realize it takes some work to do that, to understand a proverb and the interpretation and the words of the wise and their dark sayings. You just can't be flippant about that and say, "Well, I heard somebody said this or that." No, God gave you that book so you could check them out, so you could understand whether they're right or whether they're wrong. The Presbyterians and the Lutherans and the Methodists all baptize babies, baptize infants so that they can go to heaven when they die. Is that in the Bible? You ought to be able to know whether it's in the Bible and be able to show them if it's in the Bible or if it's not, or ask them to show you. But you know what? You know what most denominations do? They're not following the Bible. They're following their creeds. They're following their church teachings. They're following the teachings of their denomination, and they don't even know that those things aren't in the Bible. You know why? They've never studied it. They've never read it, so we need to do that. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, "All Scripture," that's the Bible, every word of it, "all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable." For what? For doctrine. That thing that the modern contemporary church despises, doctrine. They don't like doctrine. They don't want to teach doctrine. They'll put it in their on their websites. "We do not teach doctrine. We do not make a big deal about doctrine." You know how you're saved? By doctrine. By believing Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and there's no way to heaven by Him. Without doctrine, you're not going to heaven. And yet churches say, "Well, we don't make a big deal. We don't teach doctrine." Jesus Christ did. Over and over. And the Bible is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. If you don't study your Bible, how do you get those things? How can you be obedient to God if you're not studying your Bible to get those things? Those don't come from a casual reading. Those come from doing some digging in. You know, one of the things you can do in Bible study to help you is go to church. In Sunday school, in the past year, or 2 years, or 3 years, we have studied from the incarnation of Christ, His arrival and His birth into this world. We studied through His boyhood. We studied through His miracles. We studied through His parables. This is all in Sunday school. His miracles, His parables. Then we studied His life, His crucifixion, His resurrection, and now we're studying His return. Can I tell you this, and I said this to somebody the other day, if you were here for the last 3 years in Sunday school alone, you got more information on the life of Christ than you get in Bible college for 4 years. And I don't say that to boast or to brag. I'm just saying, when we're in a good Bible-teaching, Bible-preaching church, and some of you other fellows can attest to this, you will get more information in church service than you'll get in a concentrated study of 4 years in seminary. And that was just Sunday school. We're going through 1 Corinthians on Sunday nights. Wednesday night, we finished going through all those Bible characters for 58 years. You'll learn more in that than you would in Bible college. And I'm not saying that to knock a Bible college. But there's enough there to get our study done if we're just desiring to be disciples of Christ. So it's important for Bible reading, for Bible study, and then number three, Bible memorization. Bible memorization. Look at the quote if you would. Bible memorization is absolutely fundamental to spiritual formation. When you're reading your Bible and you come across a verse that you really like, underline it. You say, can I write in my Bible? Absolutely. Underline that verse. Underline, circle words, things that stand out to you. And then go down and write that verse down on a little 3x5 card. And put it on your refrigerator. Put it on your dashboard. And while you're going through your day, memorize that verse. What a blessing that will be. Then later on in that day, when you get down, you get depressed, you get tempted, you've got that verse in front of you that you're memorizing, and after a little while memorizing, you've got it down there in your heart. It will give you comfort and peace and joy like nothing else. You can't take your Bible everywhere. I mean, you can carry it anywhere you want to carry it, but there are situations and times where you won't have it in your hand on the job site. Somewhere out traveling somewhere. We need to have that word in here as well as in here for us to have the successful Christian life we're going to have. We need to memorize verses in the Bible. We've got little red books that are out there in the track rack. Something, Pathway to Soul Winning or something. Little red books, and they're Bible memorization books. Several years ago, we ordered a whole bunch of those in for the church, and we tried together to do those books for memorization, and it just did not work because everybody was at a different place in their life of their ability to memorize. The younger your mind is, the little bit easier it comes to do, and some of our older folks struggled with that memorization and trying to do it at that pace and that schedule. So don't worry about anybody's pace or anybody's schedule. Just try to look at what it says in Psalm 119, verse 11 on the outline. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. It's not the fellowship of Christians. It's not even the songs necessarily. It's not the church. It's the Bible that makes the difference in our life. It's the Bible that gives us victory. I want us to turn to one more place and we'll be done. Look at Matthew chapter 4. We quoted verse 4 already. Matthew chapter 4. And verse 4 said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Folks, that right there is every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. He wrote it down for you. You should be thankful. We should all be thankful that we have a church that knows we have the Word of God and knows where to find that Word of God. In a day of such utter confusion, the New World Translation, the New International Version, the English Standard Version, the American Standard Version, the New American Standard Version, the Good News Translation. In a day of such utter confusion, where people are going to churches and everybody's got a different Bible, how in the world do you memorize Scripture? I read one article as I was studying for this week and looking up stuff and searching the internet, getting some ideas and stuff like that. I looked at one guy, and I forget who it was, some popular preacher. But he had one on Bible memorization, some lessons on Bible memorization. So I read through that. And in that one little, it was short. It was like 4 or 5, 6 different paragraphs. And it had 3 or 4 different points on how to memorize Scripture. And in every one, he quoted a Bible verse. And in those points in that little paragraph, he quoted from 6 different translations of the Bible, 1 point for each one of his different things. And I didn't bring the list. I've got it back on my desk. But it was the Good News Translation, the World, all these things. And I thought, how in the world do you memorize Scripture when you don't know what version you're supposed to memorize what verse out of? But thank God we've got every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God right here. We're not confused. We're not floating on that thing out there. We've got that part settled. Now we can memorize it. And can I tell you this? You'll memorize this book right here easier than you'll memorize the New International Version. This one is just, there's just something about the way this is written. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. You try that in the New Bible versions and it's close, but it's not the same. And it doesn't roll, it doesn't flow, it doesn't have... Those that study literature will tell us that that Bible is far superior to any of the rest. That's just on the literature side. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. What do you do when you can't, when you don't have the Bible with you? When a temptation comes to sin and you don't have that Bible with you, you can't read it, you can't study it, it's not in your possession, what are you going to do? You better have it in your heart. Notice in Matthew chapter 4, Jesus is being tempted by the devil. And when he's tempted by the devil, Jesus said in verse 7, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Now you know what Jesus did right there? He quoted a verse from memory. He quoted a verse in the Old Testament by memory. Folks say, what would Jesus do? I'll tell you what he'd do. He'd answer the temptation with a Bible verse. Now do what Jesus would do. A lot of folks got a little bands on their arms that say WWJD, have never read the Bible a day in their life. They can't do what Jesus did. They have no idea what he did. When the devil tempted him, he didn't run back and say, hey, wait on, let me go get the books of Moses. Let me find my Bible. I left it on the stand next. No, he had it in his heart and in his mind. He said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Verse number 10. Jesus saith unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. A second time, Jesus did the same thing. He shot from the hip. He just quoted a Bible verse from memory. That's what we're doing with the kids downstairs, teaching them to memorize it. I talked to Brother Eric this week about not just having the kids read the verses when they're up here, but have them start memorizing those ahead of time. I know those kids can do that. I've seen them do it at Vacation Bible School. I've seen them memorize 30 verses in one day to get ready for the next night. And we need to hide that word in our heart so that when we have it, when we need it, we're ready. We've got it there right at the tip of our tongue. Look at verse, where's the third time? It is written, there's going to be one more, and I'm trying to find it in my Bible. Somebody help me. What is it? Four? Oh, I missed the first one, all right? Yeah, it is written. Man shall not live by bread alone. So three times in that chapter, when Jesus Christ Himself was tempted with sin, He answered with a Bible verse from the Old Testament. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Jesus said to those that believed, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. Jesus looks down upon this congregation tonight. He sees believers. As far as I know, everybody here is a believer. He sees believers. How many disciples does He see? How many does He see? If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. We need to be getting in that book every single day. Read every day. Study as we can. Memorize as much as we can. But be in that book every day and be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Let's stand together tonight with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.